Oh, yeah, we'll need that. We'll need that, I guess. Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see all of you. It's good to be back. Yeah, we had such a great time. Thank you for your prayers, by the way. They were definitely felt, and I think our students, and we had about, I think, 215 students total at camp this year from five different churches, and man, I'll tell you what, I love just the presence of God was there every night from night one. Throughout the day while we were playing and having fun, but just those night services, man, we talk about kids never being able to forget those experiences. They're things that I'm never going to forget, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember we had quite a few salvations the first night, but on the first night there was particularly one young man who came in as an atheist and he left as a believer. And I think that just proves that we kind of label people and we have these different things and these words that scare us, like, ooh, atheist, doesn't believe that there's a God. But like when you meet God, everything changes. You know, it just goes to show you that there is no king like Jesus. And when you meet King Jesus for real for the first time, nothing's going to stop you, not even your old weird belief system. You know, all that stuff just goes out the window and freedom comes. And there was just so much joy in the presence of God this year. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But before I do that, we just wanted to hear from a few of our students that were there from this church. And so if I could invite those of you that are willing to share this morning up here. We've got Alea, we've got Josh, and we've got Malaya. So if you guys just want to come on up all together. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, come on up here. It's less intimidating when you're standing up here as a group, so. And I'm here too, so don't be scared. Who wants to go first?
I do.
All right. You're the man. Come
all
on
right.
Up.
Hello, everyone. If it looks like I'm walking with a limp, that's because I am. I had a bit of a run-in with a slip and slide. They got their name for a reason, as it turns out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this last week I got the privilege of going to the summer camp, and it's getting a little harder for me to pass as a youth kid, so Pastor Ryan Alicia let me be a counselor this time. So that was pretty cool. For a purely selfish reason, summer camp was awesome because it was a break from work. I've been working a lot this summer, and it was just a really nice break, but it's also really refreshing to just see young people who are just getting hit with the presence of God, yeah. Young people who are just like passionately on fire for Jesus. And that's what it really was. I think that God gets excited when summer camps happen.
He does, yes.
How many of you know that God is a winner?
Come on.
Yeah, all right. So I'm going to teach you what young people say. There's this term that young people say. They say dub. Dub is, it's short for W, which is short for win. So this last week, God brought home a lot of dubs, is what I like to say. Just his presence was just there every night, like Pastor Ryan was saying. Like every night service, like the kids just came expecting things to happen. And that's exactly what happened. Just the kids, the leaders, the youth pastors, everyone came just ready to see God move in big ways. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, It was crazy. You kind of had to be there, I guess, but I'll try to explain it. There was kids getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Kids were prophesying. People were getting free from bondage they've been had on them their whole life. There was visions. People were getting healed. Like there was this one kid who was on crutches, barely could walk, threw his crutches, ran up on stage. Like crazy stuff was there. God was just moving.
Yeah.
And I've been going to camps like this since I was just a little boy, and God never fails to blow me away each time. It's crazy. He just like never stops stepping it up. I don't think he knows how. And it was really cool being a counselor as opposed to a student this time, because instead of being the one in the mix getting everything, like I still got a lot out of it, and there was still so much that I came away with. But more than that, I got to watch it happen to other kids. I got to watch kind of the next generation fall in love with Jesus and get healed and get free and realize their passions and realize how good God is.
Yeah.
And that is almost better than getting it for yourself, I think. And I know I said the next generation, like you might have caught that, even though like some of those kids are like my age. But I'm not actually that old. But Either way, it was incredible to watch. And like, lots of other stuff happened in the camp too. Like, it was a great time. We had a lot of fun. There was a lake. They had one of those big old blob things where like someone sits on the end, the other person jumps on it, and you get launched. Like, that was cool. We had games. I met new people. I busted my ankle. Like, all sorts of stuff happened. But what really matters and what kids are going to come away with and it's going to stick with them and what's really going to last is exactly what I'm talking about, is what God was doing at this camp. And I really think he changed a lot of kids' lives, and it was awesome.
Okay, so my perspective on healing was more of a, I kind of have to see it in order to fully believe it. So the second night when we did, when they were praying for the people and they were getting healed, I wasn't the one that was getting healed, but I feel like physically, but I feel like my relationship was with Jesus was getting healed. Even while other people were getting healed, because I could watch that and I could actually see it with my own eyes. So.
Awesome.
Okay, so it was the last night of camp that I encountered God. And up until that point, I didn't really experience anything. And so when Pastor Jonah had us stand up and come to the front, he had the pastors come out into the crowd and lay their hands on people and start speaking deliverance. At one point, two pastors came up behind me and started praying deliverance, but when they left, I still hadn't felt anything. And then a woman from my tribal group named Ruth, she came up to me from my side and she laid hands on me and started praying and prophesying. She was just asking God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, to fill me with his love. And I just started crying. She prayed for confidence in me. And the funny thing is, I had never mentioned to her my insecurity, my fear of public speaking. And so that was a bit of a surprise. And she started getting excited as I started crying. She's like, yes, God, more, more. And I just started sobbing, just body-racking sobs. And I felt it in my core. And in that moment, I felt release. I don't know from what, but I felt release. And so I started to calm down, and I kind of laughed at one point. I'm like, this is awesome. She started prophesying. She said, you are a warrior, and you are going to be a leader of many. Yeah. And the following morning, when people were sharing their testimonies, anxiety started to prickle in my mind, and I started to feel fear swell in my chest, and I was glued to the chair. And I calmed myself down a bit, and I told myself, okay, after this person goes, I'm gonna get up in line. Yeah. That person went. I didn't. And that happened once more. And by the time the third person was up, I heard in my mind, this is the first step.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so good.
And so by the time the third person was done, I got up and I went in line. And when I was up there, I'm like, okay, I did it. I got up, I went in line. And when it was my turn to speak, Pastor John said that we had to go a little quicker, and so I forgot half of what I was going to say. And, so I gave a short testimony, went, sat back down. And a couple of years ago, if every time I had to go up and stand in front of my class, whether it was by myself with a group, my hands would tremble, my throat would constrict, my mouth would go dry, and I would feel on the brink of tears because I was so nervous and anxious. But compare that to that morning when I stood in front of more than 100 people and none of that happened. And that led me to now speak in front of you. So.
Thank you. So good. Man, it's funny how the presence of God just makes us like lose control of our emotions sometimes. Sometimes that's the best thing that can happen. I'm crying, I'm laughing, I don't know what's going on. Crazy, but so good. So much freedom. I love freedom. I love being able to celebrate and watch people walk out of freedom. But before I go, also, we have another really awesome thing that happened. And so just to give you a little bit of a background on this, we do this thing at summer camp called Tribal Wars, okay? So we split up like the 215 students into teams of about 20. And so we had 10 different tribal war teams. And what Cheyenne has right here is the first place trophy that her team won at Tribal Wars this year. And so I'm happy to announce that this year, all of our students that went from Generational Hope came in first and second. So, and fourth. All right. So we're pretty stoked about that. And the cool thing about this and why I'm glad this trophy is here this morning is because, I didn't know this was happening until last night, but when my wife told me last night, hey, the team gave Cheyenne the trophy, you know, because the trophy just kind of gets passed around from year to year to different churches depending on who won. And her team, the guys on her team voted and said, hey, we're going to give the trophy to Cheyenne. And I just thought that was a very special thing and even a prophetic thing, not only for Cheyenne, but for us as a body, because Cheyenne, obviously a lot of the competition is very active, like Josh is talking about slip and slides, and they're playing dodgeball out there. And for a lot of the competition, Cheyenne wasn't even able to be down on the field, but she was a part of that team. And then on the last night, they kind of do like this lip sync battle. It's kind of the way to celebrate the end of the competitions. And so each team does a lip sync together, and we have judges up there, myself included, that vote. And Cheyenne's up there twirling around, dancing with them, having the party. And then her team says, here's the trophy, you take it home. And I just really felt that word for Cheyenne, that Jesus was saying to her, I'm the one who wins for you, right? And I think for all of us, it was such an encouraging word, because what I loved about this week was just how the gospel just gets alive in all of us again. And I think that's so important for us as a body, because you think the gospel, you think the good news, you think Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, and you're like, okay, this is pretty basic. But you know what? Sometimes when you're struggling and when you're having trouble winning, what's the best thing to do? It's to go back to the basics. Go back to the fundamentals, because honestly, in the kingdom of God, the fundamental things are the things that bring the most power and the most freedom. Because honestly, I think as Christians, the older we get sometimes, the more complicated we make this message and the more complicated we make how to receive Jesus or how to get your freedom or how to do this and how to do that. And Jesus just shows up and hands us the trophy. And he's like, hey, I know that you feel kind of left out. I know that you feel like you didn't do much, but the whole point of this is you don't have to do anything. I won the trophy for you, and now I'm giving it to you, and you can have a dance party with me. There's the gospel in a nutshell, right? So I just really feel like this morning, the title of what I want to share for a few minutes is Freedom Through Joy. Because as I said before, there's just so much joy when you're in the presence of God. I'm talking about a joy that supersedes anything emotionally that might be going on in your heart. anything like deliverance-wise. You know, we talk about deliverance, and that's just Jesus coming into your heart and breaking off things that shouldn't be there. And that can be an emotional experience. It can be an intimidating experience for people because, and I think it's more intimidating because we're not in control and we want to be in control. But when the Holy Spirit comes into the room, He takes control and we just have to surrender. And surrender is the best thing you can do in a relationship with Jesus, is just say, okay, do what you want to do in my heart, set me free. Do what you want to do because I can't do it in myself. And He gives you the trophy. And He says, hey, just so you remember, I won this for you. Yeah. And I'm giving it to you and it's yours. It's not just on loan to you, it's yours. I won freedom for you. Take your freedom. Take your deliverance. Take your insecurities and throw them out the window. Because they don't belong to you anymore. Amen? So I just want to talk about what it looks like to celebrate your life with Jesus. Because honestly, I think sometimes we spend way too much time being serious, and I mean serious in a bad way, about what a relationship with the Father looks like. But we need to get serious about celebrating who Jesus is in our life, what God has done for us. Like I said, there was just so much freedom that happened, and it just reminded me how easy the gospel is. Like, yeah, there's things that are complicated, but really, Jesus just makes it so easy. He wants our freedom more than we do most of the time. And so when we enter into His presence, He just shows up, and there was just so much freedom, so much joy, even from the first night. This abundant life that we get in Jesus is so much easier for us to access than we make it sometimes. I just think we have these religious mindsets and these things that tell us that either we don't deserve it or there's something else that we need to do to deserve it. Like, come on. We got kids coming to camp. Their parents made them come to camp. You know, we talk about the hunger that is alive in us as youth pastors. There's 5 youth pastors that get together to do this camp together, which I just think is awesome. And it shows so much unity and so much strength. And I'm definitely like the oldest one in the crew, so... I remember one of the youth pastors, his name is Jonah Coyne, and he's the youth pastor at East Point Foursquare Church in Puyallup. And he walked up to me after I shared something, like on the second night, and he goes, "You're such a dad." And that's awesome. But I realized he wasn't just saying that because I had kids at camp. He was saying that like about himself. Like, he's like, "Man, I'm 23 years old. Most of the time, I don't know what I'm doing." And I'm like, he goes, "You're such a dad." And I was like, okay, well, I don't feel that old, but I guess I am. If you're only 23, then yeah. And then he didn't know how old I was, but on the last day, we were like putting away the volleyball net together. And he goes, "Dude, how long have you been doing this?" And I go, "Well, I started youth ministry when I was like 21 years old, and I'm 36 now. And you should have seen how big his eyes got." He was like, "That is awesome." Like, I had no idea there was that kind of a span between us, but who cares about the number, right? But it just kind of shocked me into reality, like, yeah, you've been at this for a while. And so I just love Jesus, and I love that even at 36 years old, I'm not, yeah, I physically, you get tired after a camp experience, but you're still so full of life. And there's so much. It's like the camp hangover is not a bad thing. The camp hangover is a good thing. Yeah. Like, I'm still feeling the residual effects of the presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And so hopefully this morning I can just kind of pass some of that on to you. Because I know that most of us aren't able to be there. But I can still pass that, what Jesus did at camp, to us. And I believe that He wants to just infuse life and excitement and celebration into this church again. Because Jesus is worth celebrating every day of the week, especially Sundays, right? And I'm convinced the reason it gets hard for us to celebrate and remain joyful is because we get lured into religion more than we do into the reality of the relationship that we have with Jesus. And religious mindsets tell us things like, it's what I need to do to get right with God, okay? Some of us come into church and we're like, And it's a subconscious thing a lot of the time, but we come in and we don't lift our hands and we don't get into worship, not because the music's not good or the song choice, we didn't like it too much. It's this attitude that says, I don't really deserve to enter in because of this. And it sounds really like humble, and it sounds like we're being really pious before God, but actually that offends God. Because it's like he's trying to hand you the trophy, and you're just like, no, I'm not worthy of that. And he just goes, well, I never said you were, but I am. So when I hand you a gift, you take it. And we just think we're being so humble, and we're like, well, I'm not going to celebrate today because there's so many of my things in my heart and in my life that aren't right. And Jesus, if you knew, he's like, no, I know more than you what's in there. And what I'm telling you today is take the stinking trophy, right? So, talking about strength through joy. There's this thing in God's word, and it's called now faith. Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is being certain of what we're hoping for and being certain of the things that we cannot see. See, God's trying to constantly move us out of this religious mindset of, well, I'll worship God when. I'll give my heart to Jesus when. Or until this problem gets figured out. Until I get my healing. Until this person chooses to forgive me. Until this person in my family gets their life in order. Then I'll be able to have joy. Then I'll be able to celebrate. And Jesus says, you keep saying until, but that faith has nothing to do. The word until or I have to wait for it has nothing to do with faith. Faith is a now word. What's the Lord speaking to you right now? What's the Lord trying to hand to you right now? It has nothing to do with your history. He knows all about your history. He knows all about your struggles. He knows all about your family, all the questions that you have. But now faith says, I'm willing to take what you have for me today, Jesus.
Good.
All right. Maybe you're convinced. Maybe not. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not about what we can do in ourselves. And Paul was saying, by what you're eating and drinking that makes you holy, that makes you righteous, that makes you worthy of the trophy. The kingdom of God isn't about that. It's about righteousness, which is right relationship with God through what he did for you. And then peace and joy comes. Two of those things are felt experiences that we get to experience in the kingdom of God because of the right relationship we have with God, because we believe. Right. Paul also said, I pray that this God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Yeah. That was the stipulation. I pray that God will give you joy and peace once you get your act together. I pray that God will give you joy and peace once you really know what it looks like to worship him. I pray that God will give you joy and peace once you figure out what it looks like to really pray hard. Memorize half your Bible. It's like, see how religion just seeps in there and gives us all these rules? And Paul said the only rule is you believe in what Jesus has done for you, and then the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with all peace and joy. Your peace and joy doesn't come from an external circumstance or a mindset or a new Bible verse that you just learned. Your joy and your peace comes from the Holy Spirit when you believe in who Jesus is to you. So this is a dependence on the Spirit of God, a dependence on things that maybe we're not experiencing right now or seeing right now, but we know they're there because we know that Jesus has the trophy. It's not about what you can do in yourself. And I know that religion is sneaky because religion makes us really feel and really seem like we're being humble before God. But it's just a reverse form of pride that says, no, that's too easy, God. I need to make it harder. I don't like that scenario. It's not just about believing to me. People should pay up. People should pay for their mistakes. And Jesus goes, I already paid for them all. Stop spitting in my face. Religion is an affront to God. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like that we come to him and we think that we do anything in this relationship. He says, no, it's me. You get to have a relationship with me because I love you, and I'm the one who initiated. I'm the one who sent my son. And so the only thing I'm asking you to do in this thing is believe and have faith in who I say that you are. See, because when we start to, you ever wonder why your joy goes away so easily? Because it gets stolen. Because you let the enemy of your soul steal it from you. Joy is an eternal thing. Joy comes from the kingdom of God, and it's transferred to us through the Holy Spirit. So really, Satan doesn't have any access to your joy unless you are living your life on a different plane. See, because if I'm living my life according to the Holy Spirit, according to kingdom realities in heaven, Satan doesn't have any access to it there. So my encouragement to us is when we rejoice about the eternal truths, we enter this realm that Satan can't steal from.
Come on.
We learn to rejoice in the eternal truths that Jesus has purchased for us, these incorruptible promises, and Satan cannot discourage you there. The reason we get so easily discouraged is because we're living in religion and we're living in what I need to do, and that's where Satan loves to live, because the Bible calls him the accuser of the brothers and the sisters. When you're sitting in a courtroom waiting for your trial to start, and Jesus said, I already covered this, but you're sitting there because you feel the need out of your religious duty to let all your junk come out and to not worship, but to sit in the room and let Satan accuse you, he's more than happy to do that. Here's all the ways that you're not worthy to worship, to have a family, to be a leader, to do this, to do that, because this and this and this and this. And yes, we agree with him and we say all those things are a part of my heart, but not anymore. Because Jesus purchased this for me.
Come on.
This is my get out of condemnation free card right here. Those things might have been a reality to me, but they're not anymore. Put your joy in a place that cannot be compromised.
Good.
There's this verse that I love to preach about where Jesus says, put up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and where thieves can't break in and steal. You know, it's not just talking about tangible stuff. It's talking about spiritual revelation that you're getting. Store up for yourself treasure. Like, the reason I treasure summer camps, the reason I treasure my relationship with the Lord is because he speaks things to me and he shows things to me called revelation that come from his kingdom, not from my own thoughts, that are treasures to me. And when I put my life, when I put my foundation in those treasures, Satan can't take them from me anymore because they're a part of a kingdom that he's not a part of anymore. Is this making sense? Well, let's keep going then. Put your joy in a place that cannot be compromised. The Apostle Paul spent an entire letter to the Galatian church, it's part of the New Testament, the book of Galatians, talking about this problem that the church was having. He's speaking to this church who started out in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the joy of the Lord. They were saved by faith in Jesus. And then some teachers and some people came along and started to convince them not to live in the reality of I'm saved by Jesus and there's nothing to add to that. And they started to get back into a lot of law and a lot of practice. And well, if we really want to be saved, then we're going to have to start doing this. And circumcision might need to be a part of what we're doing again. And there's some rules that we need to follow and stuff we should eat and stuff we shouldn't eat. And Paul writes this letter to them and he's like, wait a second. And the term that he used is, who has bewitched you? Who has all of a sudden cast this spell over your minds and your hearts again to convince you that the way you were living through the gospel is wrong and you need to start putting performance back into it? And he said, let's just set the record straight. On your best day, you can't perform well enough to be saved. So my suggestion to you is throw away this false teaching and get back to the true gospel and the joy of your salvation, which is Jesus did all this for me. Therefore, I can walk in freedom. He's like, man, you guys are getting way too fascinated with a law that was never intended to save you. The law doesn't have the ability to save. The only thing the law does is point you toward Jesus.
Right. Good.
Even all the Israelites in the Old Testament walking through the desert, they're trying to follow all these rules, but the rules are impossible to follow on purpose. Paul called them, they're just your school teacher. They're just the one that leads you by the hand, and then you get to a point where they just have to hand you off to Jesus. Like, I have taken you as far as I possibly can. Now you're going to need salvation because that's the only way to get righteous before God.
Good.
You're fascinated with the wrong things. We get fascinated with our own weaknesses and faults. And we measure them up against the standard of God, and we're like, oh, it's hopeless. Yeah, it is. That's true, but that's where the gospel comes in. That's where your relationship with Jesus really starts to take off because you realize this can only take me so far. What I really need is a born-again experience in Jesus. Listen to this verse, if I can find it. I love this. This is in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. When the angel comes to Mary and says, hey, guess what? You're going to birth the Savior of the world in Jesus. And her question, of course, like probably all of us, would be, how is this supposed to happen? Because in case you didn't notice, I'm still a virgin. I'm not married yet. And this is going to complicate things. And what was the angel's response to her? For nothing is impossible with God. So I want to dig into this a little bit. The word nothing is actually two words. No thing is impossible with God. So the word thing in this verse is translated as the word rhema. And the rhema word of God is like the now word of God. Like the freshly personal spoken word of God into your life. So whatever God is speaking to you right now, not what he spoke to you a year ago, but what he's speaking to Mary right now is, I'm going to birth salvation in you.
Yeah, come on.
And she goes, well, how is this supposed to happen? And the angel's response is, no rhema word, no freshly spoken word of God is impossible. The word impossible given without the ability to fully perform itself.
Yeah, wow.
That's where grace comes in.
Yeah.
So the way what the angel really said, just to translate it for you, hey, how is this supposed to happen? I'm a virgin. There's a lot of impossibilities here, naturally. The angel says, no freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you without the ability to perform itself. God is going to perform it in you through the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that about your life right now? Come on. What is God saying to you today? What's God saying to you right now based off the testimonies that you just heard? The whisper of the Holy Spirit saying to you, hey, could I be free of insecurity too? Could I be free of the fear that grips my life too? Could I be free of the condemnation? Could I get excited about Jesus? All the could I is actually the voice of the Holy Spirit whispering to you, it's yours if you want it.
Yeah.
You just heard the word. It's freshly spoken. It's your rhema. You want the trophy, you can take it. It's not just for Cheyenne. It's for all of you that want the fresh word. I deserve a trophy because Jesus bought one for me. That's the freshly spoken word of God. And the angel of the Lord said, all of those fresh spoken words come with the ability to perform themselves in your life if you, by faith, believe.
Come on,
is that good or what?
Yeah.
Mary's response was a response in faith to God. She chose joy in the Spirit over the doubts of her flesh. In fact, the Gospel of Luke, just a few verses later, records the song that Mary sang out of her heart because she was so full of excitement and joy that God was going to perform this miracle in her. And the whole song is recorded. Mary chose to go into worship instead of letting her doubt and her fear of how her life might be complicated through this. No freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you without the ability to perform itself.
Yeah.
Are you burdened today with the weight of your dysfunction, where your life is at, the amount of work that you think it's going to take to get into a better place? I want to tell you that you're going to need the strength of the Lord. It's not in your own strength if you want that promise to be your reality.
Right.
And I'm not saying that to threaten you or intimidate you. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to walk out of that. I saw the Holy Spirit set people free in an instant this last week. I'm talking about deep-rooted stuff. I'm talking about abuse, sexual, physical, emotional, generations of unbelief and doubt and skepticism and atheism melts off of people in the presence of God, because who is there that counts? The Holy Spirit. Because young people are choosing to give their hearts to God and say, I don't want this anymore. You can take it. I'll take the trophy. And it's that belief that can instantly set you free from years and years and years of turmoil and regrets and bondages and sin issues and habits. I know that kids got instantly set free from pornography this week, and that's not necessarily saying that the enemy's not going to tempt them to get back into it, but come on, you got to get free if you're going to walk out of something successfully. We're going to need the strength of the Lord. I want to read this passage in Nehemiah chapter 8. This is Nehemiah coming back to his city that's been ruined, that's been destroyed by enemies, and his heart is to bring the Israelites back into a relationship with God and back to a place of strength where their city can be fortified again, their foundations can be rebuilt, so they're not living in shame, right? They're not living in condemnation, and the king lets him go back to his city. And so in the course of time, they decide, the priest and the scribe Ezra and Nehemiah, who's the governor at the time, and some of the other religious leaders come together, and they say, I think it would be a good thing for the people to actually hear the word of God. How many of you know it's a good thing to hear actually what the word of God has to say? So they literally just start reading it from day until night. They build a platform, and the scribes and the priests get up there, and they just start reading the word of God, and it's in Hebrew. And so a lot of the Israelites don't know Hebrew. They don't know their root language. So they even send translators out into this massive crowd to translate the scripture for them. So from morning till evening, they're just hearing the scriptures being read, the book of the law of Moses being read to them. And as this goes on, the people are getting really discouraged, and they're starting to mourn, and they're starting to weep, because as they hear what the law says about them, they see how bad things have really gotten. And they're like, man, we are so far away from this. And so their reaction is to not mourn in a good way, but to weep, because they're totally discouraged and burned out and say, this is impossible. But what does God say? Nothing is impossible. So in his wisdom, and because he hears from the Lord, this is what Nehemiah had to say to the people as they're just, and I'm talking about full on, like, they're not just weeping silently, like it's turned into chaos. It's a chaos of emotion. People are panicking. People are like, you know, it's over. Run for the hills. So it says this in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Get this, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Nehemiah is instructing the people in the discipline of joy, as weird as that sounds. Listen, your undisciplined lifestyle is what got you into this mess. Don't let your emotions take over. That's right. Emotions are great, but they're horrible leaders. You are letting the wrong spirit lead you right now. I'm going to instruct you how to let God's spirit back into your heart and back into your life. So what you're going to do, and it seems just weird that he would say this, you need to go and have banquets at your houses. Get up off the floor, wipe the dust off your face, blow your nose. It's like what we tell our kids, blow your nose. Come on, blow. Okay. get up, go back to your house, throw a banquet. Eat the best meat, drink the best wine. If there's people, your neighbors are not prepared for this kind of a feast, share with them. Make sure that they're ready to go too. Everybody needs to be celebrating tonight because today is a holy day. And there's no place in it for mourning and weeping. Good. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
The religious spirit would say it's a holy day. We need to be very somber. Reflect on what was just told to you, how evil you really are. And what got you into captivity in the first place. Just mourn for a few more minutes. No, Nehemiah said, we need to cut this off right now. Because there's a good, you know, there's like the sorrow of the Lord that leads to repentance, but it's also the kindness of God that leads you to repentance. So Nehemiah's like, people have their focus on the wrong thing. The law is not meant to keep you in a constant state of discouragement and fear and anxiety. The law is meant to point you to your Savior. And Nehemiah sets the record straight. And he said, there's a God who is your Savior, who was your Savior, who is your Savior, who will always be your Savior. And so go have a banquet. And what did it say? Because the people finally understood what the word was saying, they celebrated. So I want to tell you this morning as we close. Worship team, if you want to come up, because we're going to celebrate today, if you didn't know. God gives you permission to celebrate in joy, not because your sin issue is completely dealt with, not because you did everything that you could to make it right, but because you understand. Okay, I don't know if you caught that. Stay with me for a second. The permission to celebrate comes because we understand what the Word of God is saying to us. As soon as you get that revelation, not religion, but God in His presence reveals to you what He's done, what's going on in your heart, and why it's a good thing, He gives you permission to enter into His joy. Take the trophy. You get it. Even if you don't get it this morning, sometimes the best thing you can do is celebrate what you know God is going to do, even though you can't see it yet. Some of my most powerful, best times in worship have come because I've chosen to celebrate who God is despite my circumstances. What am I doing? I'm practicing the discipline of joy because I'm not going to let Satan enter into the realm of my emotions and just take over my mindset and my well-being by getting discouraged over the lack of progress that I've made. Here, listen to this. It takes much more faith to enter into the joy of the Lord than it does to enter into your discouragement and your fear and all the reasons why you're not worthy. It's really easy for me when God is pointing something out in my, and the Holy Spirit is pointing something out that needs to change in me, a weakness in me. It doesn't take any faith to sit there and go, this is why I suck. You're so right, Father. Like, I'm such a horrible son. And we all get really introspective, and we start thinking about all our weaknesses and all the things that led to that, and the areas where we could have walked in obedience and we could have listened, but we didn't, so it got worse. And we're like, oh, God, woe is me. It's so true. My history is horrible. And God says, I don't want you to weep and mourn over your history right now. I want you to celebrate right now. Because there's a new day coming. There's a new season coming. Because the now word of God over your life is what's most important. Because the now word of God in faith over your life right now is the thing that's going to allow you to enter into the grace of God. Any freshly spoken word over your life has the ability to perform itself through the grace of Jesus, but you got to enter into His grace. You got to accept who He is. I'm not saying that there's no need for repentance, a time where you feel convicted and you feel sorrow for where you've been disobedient, but continuing to wallow in your self-pity, your self-hatred, your hopelessness, and your depression and discouragement are not the answer for your freedom. I've never heard a testimony where everybody said, I was in depression and discouragement and self-hatred for so long that I finally got how worthless I am and I love Jesus now. People always say, I realized that He loved me despite myself and it set me free. There's a reason the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah, there's a time of weeping. It lasts for a single night, but some of us have been weeping for years. And God said, you spent way too long weeping over this issue in your life, discouraged over what happened to you, what this family member did, what this friend did. There's been way too long of a weeping session. It's time for you to rise up in joy and rise up. Because the day is new, the mercy is new today. God's speaking a fresh word to you this morning, and he wants you to act on that word. Not the one that Satan's been whispering in your ear for the last 2 months. Woo! Come on, joy comes when you understand. Joy comes in the morning. Morning isn't necessarily just what has an AM stamped next to it. Morning happens when you wake up. And Jesus is saying to some of you today, wake up to the grace that's available to you. As soon as you understand, as soon as you get the revelation, as soon as you throw off your old religion, you'll wake up and you'll be able to celebrate in joy. And it doesn't matter that it's all not taken care of yet and you don't have all the details figured out and life's still complicated. Go have a feast in the presence of Jesus. Because it says in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. And it's joy that's given to you whether you deserve it or not. Because the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. Can you stand with us this morning? Father God, we just thank you for your victory.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we thank you that whether we deserve it or not, none of us are deserving, but we're all trophies of your grace. And you want us to walk in the power of your word. You want us to walk in the power of your grace. You want us to walk in the power of new life. But it's going to require that we choose to celebrate instead of despair over how crappy our life is, God. We choose to celebrate your life, your freedom, what you've purchased for us. It's not anything about what we've done for ourselves, but it's about everything that you've done for us. And so just like Nehemiah reminded the Israelites hundreds of years ago, we choose to enter into the practice of joy because joy is a choice. Joy comes from the Spirit of God, and we choose to engage with the Spirit of God, or we can choose to engage with the spirit of darkness. And we're saying that today we choose to engage with your Holy Spirit where the enemy cannot steal from us anymore. Amen? Yes. All right, let's sing.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. Oh, it was my tomb till I met you. You called my name. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new. Jesus, when I met you, you called me. Call my name. let chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. And when you call my name,
that for some of you, just like the song says, Jesus is calling your name right now. He's calling your name because he has freedom for you, because he wants to take the burden. Jesus is the one who invited us to him and said, all of you who are weary and burdened, come to me and you will find rest for your soul. So I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to invite some of you to his rest.
Yes.
That rest of faith, that rest of believing that says, what Jesus requires of me, what Jesus is calling out of me, he has the grace to perform it. Can you just do something? Just do something in faith. This might be weird for some of you, but it's going to be easy. Just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, and we're just going to release faith and freedom over each other today as a body. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come right now. And as we lay our hands on each other, we just ask that Holy Spirit, you would come and bring freedom from bondage. You would come and bring freedom from, like the song says, the weight of sin that we're carrying. God, we just declare that you are the one who carries the weight of our sin. We don't have to carry it. So I pray that if there's any unhealthy just weight that we're carrying, unhealthy sorrow that we're carrying that's not from you, condemnation that's not from you, that the enemy wants to just rub our face in the dirt constantly. As we lay hands on each other, we just ask for the anointing that comes to break the yoke of slavery, because we're not slaves anymore. We're free in the Spirit of God. We choose life by the Spirit of God. We choose to live in your kingdom reality, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So just a fresh release of your Holy Spirit into people's innermost being today in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So good. So good. Well, bless you today. Have a wonderful afternoon. I'm losing my voice again, but Jesus is worth losing your voice over. And just a reminder, if you're coming into our middle school ministry next year, if you're in sixth grade coming up in September, please come hang out with us down in the basement with your families. We've got some pizza for you, and we're going to let you know what's happening in September for you, so it's going to be fun.